We're talking about eVTOL aircraft and the future of advanced air mobility here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer. Kent, glad you could be here. So multiple new vertical takeoff and landing aircraft are edging closer to becoming a reality. More than 150 manufacturers and startups worldwide are developing new designs for hovering air taxis, ambulances, regional airliners, and cargo haulers. And that's according to Flying Magazine. In Oshkosh, closer to home, plans for a terminal that handles eVTOL is underway. So what do you want to know about vertiports? What is the next step in environmentally responsible air travel? It's 800-642-1234. Grant Fisk is co-founder of Volatus Infrastructure. That's a Wisconsin-based company building a permanent electric vertical takeoff and landing vertiport at Oshkosh's Whitman Regional Airport. Grant, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
So you've had an opportunity to sit in an electric flying vehicle. Can you paint us a picture here? What are they like? What do they look like?
The best I can describe it is what the Jetsons promised us back in 1962.
Jetsons, come back.
Oh, yeah. We are in that future now that the Jetsons promised us. It's pretty remarkable. Now, sitting in the aircraft, it is like sitting in some type of, it's a pod. You're sitting there in an extraordinarily comfortable seat. Right, and it was a two-seater. Between the two seats is a touchscreen, which is all the controls in the entire vehicle. And you just have this amazing view of just the world around you. It's pretty remarkable. You can envision floating in the air in this thing pretty easily.
So what does advanced air mobility really mean? I mean, we're hearing that terminology thrown around. What does that entail?
Advanced air mobility and its kind of cousin, urban air mobility, it's kind of a loose term describing kind of the new technologies that are being created to enhance and ease transportation. Okay, and the form that is taken is this eVTOL, electric vertical takeoff and landing aircraft. They are designed to quickly, quietly, and efficiently pick up people and cargo and transport them short to medium distances very quickly and efficiently. We're talking city to city here in Wisconsin, Oshkosh to Milwaukee in 15 minutes, maybe 20.
Wow.
Stevens Point to the Fox Cities in 20 minutes.
That's pretty incredible. So where are we at with the timeline of this? How do you envision people using them, and what is that timeline?
Well, the first round of vehicles that are being manufactured are already in their final stages of their FAA approval process. These are still aircraft, and the Federal Aviation Administration still needs to sign off on them. And it's about 6 or 7 vehicles are in the final stages of that approval process. And if they stick to their schedule, they will be available for general sale and use Q1 of next year. So as little as 8 months from now, these will be available to the general public.
Wow, that's soon. And you said if they get clearance from the FAA, what is the role of the federal government in regulating this airspace for eVTOLs?
Well, the federal government created a working group with NASA to help determine how exactly is this going to work. You know, for the most part, these vehicles are going to be regulated similar to a helicopter.
Okay.
A helicopter can land and fly just about anywhere, as long as they have approvals from the landowner. They can land. They can land in your front yard if you really want them to. So they've given this to NASA to kind of figure out how this is going to work. And there's been a lot of talk about, okay, how is this going to work, especially once they get to being potentially an autonomous vehicle. The first ones are going to be piloted, just like any other aircraft. The big questions have been, once we get to the point of these being autonomous, then there's going to have to be a whole new set of regulations written for safety, for where they can fly, for how they can fly, for how high, et cetera, et cetera. So there's still a lot of regulations and rules being written for the vehicles.
We're talking with Grant Fisk, co-founder of a Wisconsin-based company building a vertiport at Oshkosh's Whitman Airport, as we talk about the flying car industry, advanced air mobility, where it's headed, with your questions along the way, 800-642-1234. So what are you building in Oshkosh? Can you paint a picture for us what this infrastructure will look like with its terminal?
Yeah, so it's for this, in order for these vehicles to be successful and for the mass adoption that people are expecting, they do need a place to land. Because in all honesty, you probably won't be landing them in your front yard for a while yet. So we've created a essentially new airport terminal, a dedicated space where these vehicles will be able to land. It's own space. It's a landing pad, which is just a big concrete pad that they'll land on. It is going to be a charging station so the vehicles can plug in. And it's going to be a small, relatively small steel and glass structure, look like a futuristic airport terminal. It is exactly that. It is a new airport terminal, like you would see in Chicago, Appleton, Green Bay, wherever.
And so what did you base it off of, or what were some of the considerations in the design work?
So when we first came up with this idea, and we were trying to kind of come up with an idea of creating the future that the Jetsons promised us mixed with the mystique of flying kind of Pan Am in the 60s and 70s. trying to bring, maybe romanticism is a bit of a misnomer, but trying to make it exciting again, trying to make it interesting. So we tried to find that mix of old and new, futuristic and retro.
Are there other companies doing what you're doing? Because it's not just the terminal that you offer with your products. What other things are you working on?
So the biggest thing with this is the charging station.
Okay.
Now, we've now seen Teslas and BMW and Mercedes and Honda, all kinds of companies have got electric vehicles out there right now. And you can get a charging station that you can bolt into your garage. But the power requirements for eVTOL aircraft are quite a bit different and quite a bit bigger than your regular electric Tesla. If your Tesla runs out of juice, you're just going to be stranded on the side of the road. If an eVTOL runs out of juice, you're going to fall, it's going to fall out of the sky. So it requires a tremendous amount of electricity. So it's a matter of creating a charging infrastructure as well that can handle the power loads for the vehicles.
What does the energy use look like comparing vertical, the eVTOL versus the horizontal flight, like the planes we're seeing in the skies now?
Well, with horizontal flight, you are using the air itself, with the air movement over the wings, to help keep the plane in the air. So you do not need as much thrust for the size of the airplane compared to a vertical takeoff machine like a helicopter. Every bit of energy needs to go towards keeping the plane in the air. So in terms of if we're comparing the energy per pound of aircraft, it does require quite a bit more energy. Off the top of my head, I can't tell you the exact numbers just because of everyone seems to have their own idea of how much is needed, how many motors are going to be on the aircraft, how they're going to work and whatnot. Everyone seems to have come up with their own idea. So we're trying to find some standardization so we can start to create, kind of the mass produced infrastructure around a standardized kind of energy usage.
Grant Fisk with us, Nina Native, co-founder of a company building a vertical takeoff and landing vertiport at the airport in Oshkosh. Do you have concerns about electric flying vehicles? What are your first impressions? Have you seen one? Would you be inside of one? Are you optimistic about their future of Jetsons-like transformation in your lifetime? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Grant Fisk here on the Ideas Network. We're exploring eVTOL in America, plans for an electric vertical takeoff and landing terminal in Oshkosh. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. eVTOL aircraft are designed to use electric power to take off, land, and hover vertically, reducing carbon emissions. None has been approved by the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, for general use, but that could change as soon as next year. Will Oshkosh's vertiport plans help spur economic activity? Is the city and the airport ahead of the curve or preparing for technology that you think perhaps is premature? 800-642-1234. Grant Fisk co-founded a startup last year offering vertiport designs, eVTOL infrastructure, with us for about 10 more minutes. Let's bring on John now in Milwaukee. John, hi, what's your question?
Hi, thank you for taking the question. I was wondering why small airplanes or the plane that you're going to manufacture do not have parachutes that would safely let them land over cities or any place that's populated.
John, thank you. Grant.
Well, there are some that do have them. Now, we're not the plane manufacturer. We are only manufacturing the infrastructure. There are some planes, though, that are starting to offer that safety device, one of which is the Cirrus jet, does offer that. So again, it is new technology. There are still a lot of companies that are testing it and are looking to bring the technology forward. There is one eVTOL company out of Florida that is actively testing a parachute safety device, but it's one of those things where it's cost expense. It is another thing you have to kind of carry around with you. I'm not saying that's an excuse to not have them, but they are slowly working on it.
John, thank you. You know, Grant, you're a member of NASA's Urban Air Mobility Working Group, as you said before, to really determine rules and regulations around advanced air mobility. Where do you see, with this working group, where do you see the gaps are in regulating regulating this type of aircraft?
The gaps right now are the standardization of components. That's kind of that's the biggest problem. Right now, everyone has their own idea of what the plug should look like or what the battery pack should be, all that kind of stuff. And in order for, I think, the technology to really to be adapted and to people to really kind of get behind it, there's going to need to be more standardization and very quickly. For our charging stations, for example, we can't have 24 different plugs for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's going to be the biggest problem right now is how rapidly will standardization come to the industry?
What kind of pilot's license do you imagine advanced aircraft will require to fly?
The thought has been it will be the equivalent of the FAA's new sport license, which is something they came out with a few years ago, which is just requires a few hours of training in the type of aircraft, but it is, you know, but then that's it. It isn't one of these multi-year programs where you need hundreds, if not thousands, of hours in an aircraft.
Would these aircraft be easier to fly than, you know, a standard type of jet?
Theoretically, yes. Now, if all of the aircraft out there come with the same type of control systems like the one we saw in Oshkosh last year, yeah, just about anyone theoretically would be able to fly them because it would be just like playing a video game.
Let's bring in Josh now in Oak Creek. Josh, hi, what would you like to add?
Hi, I love the idea. I've always been into planes. I would own one of these. But as awesome as the Jetsons car sounds, I always love those. I'm wondering, you said that there's several engines on them. Airplane travel by nature isn't very clean. They try to be. So you got all these extra motors, all this extra power. How clean are these things going to be for the environment? And the only other thing, as much as I'd love to own one, it sounds to me like the price tag on these things are going to be ridiculous. Is this going to be a
cost prohibitive,
super rich only operator or an owner, or could anybody be able to buy one of these things?
Great question, Josh. Yes, thank you, Grant.
Well, for the environmental part of it, first, these are all electric. There has been some talk about hydrogen fuel cell, but that's still many years off yet. So they can be as clean as, you know, the electricity that we get from the mains.
be it nuclear or coal or wind or solar or what have you, they can be as clean as the energy we get from the local municipality. In terms of price, vehicles are being are going to be out there for anywhere from, we've heard, $100,000 to $150,000 to several million dollars. But the affordability, though, is one of the factors that we took into consideration when we developed our vertiport concept, because if this is, if they're all millions of dollars, then we're, the technology isn't going to be as accessible as it should be in order to see the mass adoption in the industry in the world.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about the flying car industry, how Wisconsin is expected to be ahead of this, landing a vertical takeoff and landing vertiport at Oshkosh's Whitman Regional Airport. Grant Fisk, co-founder of a startup working in the eVTOL space. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Gary is joining us from Brookfield. Hi, Gary. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm a private pilot. And the question I have is air traffic control. You made one statement about sport plane license. Fact of the matter is, sport plane license isn't allowed to fly in a lot of places. So the question I have is, how are these things going to be controlled? The air traffic control system right now has a lot of issues.
Gary, thank you. Grant.
No, that is an excellent question. I mean, currently the first crop of aircraft that are going to be developed and released are going to be piloted, so they will be using the existing air traffic control system. The future, though, is with everyone planning on going autonomous, there will need to be an additional, almost an additional air traffic control system set up to manage the autonomous vehicles. It's going to be, you know, receivers set up every few miles in every direction to make sure those signals being sent to and from the aircraft and managing them in the air are set up. So it is going to be interesting to see how they manage that transition from piloted to autonomous aircraft. But that has been one of the topics of conversation with NASA, is how that's going to be set up, who's going to be responsible for it, and when.
When you say autonomous, you know, driverless vehicles have, you know, the work on them has been going on for at least a half century. We're just still not there yet. Do you fear there will be a similar trajectory, a similar scenario for this type of aircraft?
I think the timeline for autonomous aircraft is going to be much shorter than for the autonomous car, only because with the amount of drone companies, for example, creating new technology almost seemingly every day or almost every hour, we're creating a lot of new technology much faster with the flying cars than we did with the autonomous vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So the number of hours being generated and the number of hours flown, the amount of data being generated is quite a bit bigger than with the autonomous cars.
Another issue that comes up, airports are in constant tension with noise and trying to keep noise down. What are the noise considerations around eVTOLs?
So there has been some studies done already considering or to determine kind of what is the noise level of these vehicles. A couple of the studies have already been released that the eVTOL vehicles are proving to be almost 1,000 times quieter than a helicopter. So you can be sitting in your house with all your windows closed, and chances are you won't even hear them fly over.
Hmm. So that would be a considerable improvement based on where, you know, helicopters, you can certainly hear one going overhead.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I hear up in Nina, we hear our medical helicopters flying over all the time. Windows closed, any time of day, you can hear them from miles away. With these, we would never even hear them.
So you are a startup forming the company last year. What are the next steps for your business, for the trajectory of what you work on in an area that's still really trying to take shape?
The biggest thing right now is education and getting people to understand why the infrastructure is as important as the vehicles themselves. So we're starting in Oshkosh, which makes absolute sense, being the home of the EAA and the EAA Air Venture flying every summer. So getting it in front of people and getting it in front of eyeballs and being able to educate as many people as possible. From there, then, it is just determining where is it going to make sense to put these, starting with regional airports, starting with general municipalities, business parks, hospitals, cargo hubs. We're not quite sure what direction that's going to go in yet, but it's all going to, it has to start with education. So people understand how it's important, why it's important, and how it's going to impact their lives.
Grant, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much. It's been my pleasure.
Grant Fisk is co-founder of a Wisconsin startup called Volatus Infrastructure Designing and Building Products for the eVTOL industry. Ahead this hour, it's the state health department's director of opioid initiatives on plans to help fight the opioid epidemic in light of the $400 million opioid settlement. A survey from the Department of Health Services gives a better picture of what's needed. Is a loved one fighting opioid addiction? Who or what is a lifeline? 800-642-1234 to join in. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.